Saturday afternoon here. Tomorrow's the 1st of March. And there's a light breeze that just came through. I live in an area of San Antonio in the southwest portion. And behind our backyard, there's a 24-acre park that right now I'm looking at, and it has a lot of trees, Texas-type trees, not too big, not too tall, you know, just kind of bush-like. Maybe the tallest one, at the most, about 20 feet, not like California, you know, where you have 60, 80, 100-foot plus trees, you know, and here they're starting to sprout. We've got a peach tree in our backyard, and already it's got lots of green leaves over it. I imagine probably about the same there as you in California. And in that 24-acre park behind our backyard, there's coyotes, and every once in a while we can hear them sound off. There's packs, at least one pack back there, you know, with maybe 10 coyotes. And all the dogs in the neighborhood go wild when they hear the coyotes sounding off, you know, yipping, yapping, and howling. And the sun's going down. We got about another couple of hours of light here. And I thought I caught a smell of a barbecue on the air somewhere down around the neighborhood on either side. I don't know. Anyway, how have you all been? It's been 2 weeks since my... No, it's been a week since my last show. And I had a bout of food poisoning, I think, last Saturday. I got some food from a local Thai restaurant. It was like a 24, 48-hour thing. And not a pleasant thing to have to go through. I was in church Sunday. I had a solo part, too. I had to get up there and surely didn't feel like doing it, but I made it. And then I was okay by Wednesday, back to normal, but there's also some things you adjust, one adjusts in one's life to feel better, you know, to feel good, or try to feel good all the time. Sure, everybody is the same way. You know, we experiment. We do what's best, right? I mean, in every facet of our lives, whether it's a shower or the way you sleep at night in your bed, the food you eat, what you do for exercise, you know, all this, we do, I've noticed other people, they do what they need to do to stay strong, to not feel bad, you know, to feel good. One thing I like to do is sing. I do a lot of singing. I'm a member of a choir at the gospel service on Lackland Air Force Base. The chapel is called Freedom Chapel. And I've been singing there with my wife since 2012. Uh-oh. Well, one of our dogs just threw up on the patio. Let me close the door. Hold on. Well, I might have cleaned this, our little dachshund. He came out. I think he'd just been drinking some water, and he just spewed about a cup of vomit right here on the patio floor. And I haven't caught wind of it yet, but it's just sitting there, and I better go clean it up. So I'm going to take a little break here for about a couple minutes, okay? And I'll be back. Hi, everybody. I'm back. And just at that moment, the dog comes through the patio. Now he needs to get back in the house. For those of you that didn't know, our little dachshund came out the patio, and on the way out through the doggy door, he vomited about a cup of what looked like mostly water. So I had to mop that up, or, you know, pick it up with some paper towels. Anyway, these things happen. And I was talking, now hold on just a minute, let me He's gone in through the door and left the door open, so I'll be right back. Such is life, living with dogs. We got 4 rescue dogs, 2 cats, 2 rescue cats. And we live a happy and joyful life here in San Antonio. God's been good to us and don't have too many problems. But our big dog's getting older, and he started having epileptic seizures, and so we give him medicine every day. Now, he used to go upstairs, climb the stairs, and sleep alongside my bed at night. Now he can't make it upstairs, so he's been sleeping downstairs. And then he's taking medicine, and so he gets hungry at all hours of the night. And when he gets hungry, he'll start barking, so we got to deal with that now, too. And he's about, I'm guessing, 11, 12 years old, black lab. He's heavy. He's a big dog, 140 pounds. And then the dachshund, he's a male also, and he's probably around the same age, maybe a year or two less. Then we have 2 female terriers, a smooth fox and an American pit bull, and they're about 7, 8 years old. Anyway, so I was talking about things that we do to try to stay healthy, stay well. But in my opinion, we get sick because of 2 things. Either we catch an airborne virus or we eat some food that gives us food poisoning. You know, that sets our systems into disarray. And from my experience, there's nothing that will get you sicker rather than some food that isn't fresh, you know, we're not aware of when we're eating it. But also airborne viruses. There was a person at work, I was talking with them the other day, and there was another person that was hacking and spewing and coughing, and they said they were exposed to them for a short while, and then shortly thereafter they came down with what seemed like the same thing. And that person was out of work for like 3-4 days. And even something as simple as a shower, you know, what kind of shower, temperature-wise, you take, you know? I've done a lot of research on the type of shower temperature to take because it can make your day. It really can. It's called hydrotherapy, and it's time-tested way of taking showers. Europeans believed in it way back centuries ago. You know, there was a time when people didn't have access to hot water. They used to shower all the time with cold water. And they were strong. It built their immune systems. You know, it was good for the circulation. It helped the breathing. It was supposed to enhance one's sexual libido, virality. And there was some additional benefits, too. I think it would also clear toxins from the bloodstream. So I've been experimenting with that over the last several years, taking cold showers. And you can also take a combination of hot and cold showers. They're called contrast showers. But I didn't like those too much. I was taking them until just recently. But mainly over the last few years, I've been taking cold showers. And it's kind of a neat feeling. At first, I mean, it's painful to get in the shower, really. But it makes you tough. That's another thing they say. You know, it helps you to handle pressure. If you're frightened of public speaking, for example, they say cold showers are a good thing to take. If you have to give a speech or a talk at wherever you work or someplace else, and you're feeling the nerves, you know, hop in a cold shower for a few minutes, and that will get you straight, what I've experienced. And after you get out of the shower, it you start to warm up, and it's a good feeling, really, different than warming, than cooling down, you know, when you take a hot shower and you get out of the shower. So these are the things that we go through as human beings, you know, to try to make ourselves feel better, to stay feeling good. And I think one of the reasons is because I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995 when I was in the Army. And my son Bryce, he lives in L.A., in Burbank, works for Warner Brothers, and he's 20, he'll be 26 this May. When he was born, his kidneys were underdeveloped. So what happened was, during his fetal development, there was a blockage in the ureters, and that caused the urine to back up and stunt the growth of the kidneys. So he had very small kidneys at birth, and they told us that he would probably need dialysis and or transplantation later on in his life. And sure enough, we were hoping the kidneys would grow, but they didn't. In fact, right after he was born, they did an operation, what they called a phlebotomy, where they cut the skin behind the kidneys in the back to allow the urine to drain out. But not surprisingly, his kidneys became infected at about age 3 months. And so we took him into the doctor, his doctor at the time, a man by the name of Oscar Salvatierra, a well-known child kidney specialist. And he said, well, we need to take him out, put him on peritoneal dialysis, which is what we did, what he did. He took the kidneys out. And around about that time, they asked me if I would be willing to donate one of my kidneys. Well, my ex-wife at the time, she had a history of kidney disease in her family. Her father had died of kidney disease at age 44, so not surprisingly that my son was, you know, kind of beset with the same illness, if you will. And so she was borderline diabetic, I think they said back then. And so she couldn't donate one of her kidneys. And I went through the compatibility testing, and sure enough, I was the right blood type, O positive. Bryce was A positive. So O positive is a universal donor. And the tissue testing, I passed that. So they said that Bryce had to get bigger in order to have the transplant. For it to be successful, you know, they have to be a certain age and a certain weight. So Bryce was, well, at age 3 months, he was right around 10 pounds. The minimum was 18 pounds. So we had to feed him a high-calorie formula through a tube called an NG tube. It went in through his nose, into his stomach, you know. And we had a machine. And so at nighttime, from age 3 to 10 months, 7 months, he was hooked up to the dialysis machine and this NG tube, feeding him high-calorie formula, and all during the night, the alarms would go off. He would roll over and crimp the tube for the dialysis tubing, or he would pull his tube out of his nose, and that alarm would go off, and that's the way it was for about 7 months. But he survived, thank God. And so at age 10 months and 18 pounds, on the 29th of March, 1995, we had the operation at Stanford University in San Francisco, where they took out my right kidney and placed it in between his hips, basically right in the middle of his abdomen. And that kidney lasted him 19 years. And then he got a second kidney in 2014 at the University of Michigan. And he still has that one. And that one was given to him by his best friend's mom, his best friend's mom. What a gift. I mean, for me, it's a pretty natural thing for a father to help out his son, but his best friend's mom, that was a real gift. And so we're praying that will last him few more years, at least, quite a few more years, at least. And so, getting back to what I was talking about, when you live with one kidney, people say, and usually these people are the ones that live with one kidney, they have two kidneys, but they speculate that a body can live with one kidney alone sufficiently well, but not so, I say. Things are a little bit different. And I don't want to discourage anybody out there from donating a kidney, but God didn't make a mistake when he gave us two kidneys. You know, he didn't give us two kidneys because, well, you only need one. I'll give you another one in case you need to donate one to someone later on. I don't think that's the reason. God, the Creator, is perfect. His knowledge is perfect. His her knowledge is perfect. His her power is incomprehensible. Uncomprehendable. But suffice it to say that a person, a human being, can live a relatively normal, healthy life on one kidney, which is what I've done for all these years. But still, I've noticed that there is a drop in the energy level, if you will. For one thing, it took me a few months to get back to normal. The first month after the operation, I felt like my stomach or that abdominal area on the right there where the scar was like a board, very stiff and hard. That surgical incision cut the nerves in the area, so I didn't have any feeling down there in the lower right area of my abdomen and on my side, right side. And then I felt inclined, it took a few years, but I felt inclined to start to live as healthy a lifestyle as I could to ensure my longevity. And I never really was much of a soda drinker, but I cut that out basically and drank only water, and I've been doing that throughout the years. Every now and then I might have some fruit juice. But I gave up coffee and tea also. I found that, surprisingly, they made me sick. I couldn't drink coffee or tea without getting sick. I'd come down with a virus. Maybe that's associated with the kidney donation. But exercise-wise, being in the Army, I still had to take the PT test. So every 6 months, I had to run 2 miles and do push-ups and sit-ups. And I felt like the pain that I had experienced before all of a sudden was more amplified, if you will. I was more aware of the pain because of having gone through the operation. So a couple of years later, I went to Walter Reed and I asked the Army for a profile for doing sit-ups. And they actually took some x-rays of my spine and found that I had a fracture in my spine, and which had misaligned the fourth and fifth lumbar vertebrae, a condition known as spondylolisthesis and spondylolisthesis. So the x-rays revealed that, and besides after the kidney donation, from having only one kidney, the Army granted me a profile for sit-ups. And then I went back about a year or so later and got a profile for push-ups, so I didn't have to do the push-ups either. And then in 2000, I was living in Cleveland at the time, I got a profile for running, so I didn't have to do the running. And then the only thing I had to do after that for the PT test was a 2.5 mile walk. And that's pretty easy. It was easy. And I did that for about 4 more years. I left Cleveland and had a final duty assignment in the military group in Caracas, Venezuela. And that was quite an experience. Also, in 1999, I became a vegan. I began by being a vegetarian. on the 20, I still remember the day, the 29th of March. And I was eating mainly dairy products and eggs, and I'd given up eating meat, and I was eating some fish. And then 6 months later, on the 29th of September, I decided I would just go completely vegan. I gave up dairy, eggs, and any type of meat. And since then, I've been, for the most part, vegan, close to 99%+ vegan. Every now and then, over the years, I've had a piece or two of pizza, or I'll have some food that has a little bit of egg or dairy in it, but no meat. I live on vegetables and tofu, textured vegetable protein. There's a product that I buy in the commissary known as Gardein. Many of you heard of Gardein out there. They've got all these different types that resemble and taste like either chicken or beef or pork or fish. And I eat that. Also, I'll eat a lot of beans, bean burritos, mainly bean tacos. And there's also a new type of burrito that has this vegan cheese in it called Daya. I've been eating that. And so why? Because I felt that need to ensure my longevity, you know, because really what you eat, you digest. And meat, as delicious as it is, is harder to digest than vegetables, understandably so, right? Well, that's one thing I have noticed. My digestion is better, and that I like, that part I like, but still, I miss eating meat to my wife and everyone here in the house. You know, my stepdaughter, my three grandchildren, my son, they all eat meat. And so when I'm going out with them, I see them eating maybe a juicy steak or a very nice looking piece of chicken, you know, looks juicy. And I miss that, but I'm also dedicated and disciplined, you know. And I'm the kind of a person where when you do something, you go all the way. You know, you don't stop doing it or, you know, take a break here and there. You're going to do something, you do it all the way. That's the way I believe. And that's what the Army taught me. I think they disciplined me. Well, that's one thing you learn in the Army and the military in general. You learn discipline. Something good to have. Something that's good to have. Every young man and woman in the United States should join the military for a couple of years, I think. It teaches them not only discipline, but teamwork, camaraderie. It has so many benefits, really. And then you're thinking about doing it. Those benefits can include the Montgomery GI Bill. You know, you do a few years in the Army or Air Force, Navy, Marines, whatever you want. And you could basically get all your college tuition paid for, you know. What a deal that is. And if you stay in, like I did 22 years, you have a pension later on, and you get your medical and your dental taken care of. You don't have to pay anything, you know. It's a good deal. Yes, you have to take orders, but, excuse me, let me take a drink. You're going to be taking orders wherever you're going to go. Wherever you are, unless you're self-employed, you know, have your own business. And still you take orders from people. The military gets you in shape. If you want to be in shape, you know, you learn to run. You build up your body. I was in really good shape at one time. During my prime, I would say it was between 1992 and 94. Before the kidney, 95 actually, before the kidney operation, the transplant, I could run 2 miles in under 2 minutes on a regular basis. Once I started running, and then I had a 2-mile course set out, without fail. I'd look at my watch right at the end, and I'd be in within a few seconds of 12 minutes every time without any deviation. That was amazing. And then the most push-ups I ever did in 2 minutes were 88 and 88 sit-ups, and that was at the basic non-commissioned officers course at Fort Benjamin Harrison in the summer of 93, and I won the Ironman trophy. I competed with all my classmates, and I did a 2 mile run in 11 minutes and 56 seconds. And 88 push-ups, 88 sit-ups. I was also awarded the Distinguished Leader Award. My classmates said, well, anybody that can run as fast as you can deserves that award. So then I also got the honor graduate because I had didn't have the highest GPA, but there were some people that had a higher GPA, but they didn't meet the minimum requirement for the PT test in order to be given the honor graduate. I think you had to have at least a 270 overall score out of 300. In other words, 90 points in each event, the push-ups, sit-ups, and 2 mile run. So that was a really cool thing that happened to me, but I didn't get promoted until it was 2000, 7 years later, and I was almost at the end of my rope. I didn't think I was going to get promoted until I ran into the overall sergeant major, and I told him about at BNOC how I won those trophies. And he said, did you get that put on a subsequent evaluation report? And I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, you should have. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to write a letter to the president of the board for the E6 to E7. You have a board that reviews your records. And they look at all your evaluation reports and your PT tests and your training scores. So I wrote a letter to the president of the board and explained that I had gotten those good scores at BNOC, Basic Non-Commissioned Officer Course. And sure enough, the next year I made the list out of 160. I was like 117. And then I pinned on E7. In 2000, I think it was November, and that's what I stayed as until I retired in May of 2004. And getting back to what I was talking about, excuse me, if you're a kidney donor, you donated the kidney, or even if you're someone who has only one kidney, maybe you were born with one kidney, you just live a different lifestyle. Like I said, I don't want to discourage anybody from donating a kidney. I think, you can be like me. I've lived now since 1995, 20 going on over 25 years with one kidney. Yes, it is different. Yes, you have to take better care of yourself. You can't eat as many sweets, that's for sure. I never really was much of a sweet person, but I like to indulge in some really good sweets, like when I go on a cruise with my family. We were on a cruise together back in the summertime of last year. We took the whole family, but then my wife and I went on another one actually, we all went on the last one together. That was over Thanksgiving. And so I'll tell you right up front, when you're a vegan or a vegetarian, to go on a cruise is not so hard. I mean, now believe it or not, your options are a lot less, when you're a vegetarian, vegan. But one good thing about it is on a cruise, you have a lot of buffets and nice dishes that they make, which are compatible for vegetarians and vegans, that have enough protein and nourishment to satisfy your body, And so I go on these cruises with my wife. We've got another one coming up in May to Alaska from Seattle. My sister lives in Seattle. And We're going to spend the day with her there before the cruise, and then we'll have rented a car, and then we're going to turn the car in probably the airport, and then get a shuttle from the airport to the port, hop on the boat, and go up to Alaska. And cruises, I love cruises. I have taken since 1989 when I was in the Army. I've taken over 30. And with Carnival, I love Carnival. This will be my 25th coming up in May. Jackie, my wife, she just made her VIP, her platinum, which means that she had so many days. But she's taken like 12 cruises with Carnival. So we get these little benefits, such as free hors d'oeuvres. And they'll, if you want, they can clean your laundry for you. You know, just put it in the bag and they won't charge you. They'll clean it and bring it back the same day. Also, you get priority embarkation and debarkation. And you can go to this party where they have free hors d'oeuvres and free drinks. I don't drink. That's another thing, too. I gave up drinking alcohol back in 1988. I was in the Army at the time, living in Korea, and I was getting in trouble. I was the kind of wild type. You know, I'm a rock and roller myself. I love rock and roll music, heavy metal, and other music, too. I grew up listening to a lot of John Denver. And I'm a singer. I've got a repertoire of over 100 songs. If you include the gospel songs that I know over 200 songs that I might not know all the words to every single one of them, but it wouldn't take me more than a minute to remember them all if I had to. Suffice it to say, I know a lot of songs. And so my preference in music, lately I've been listening to a lot of electronic music. Paul Van Dyk, I think he is just fabulous. He is the number one electronic music, you know, trance music, techno music, genius in the whole world. He is just incredible. That's a shout out to Paul Van Dyk. If you're out there listening to my show, probably not, but maybe somebody might pass the word to you and let you know that I appreciate you very much. Thank you for all that wonderful music. It is absolutely incredible. Keep on doing the great things you're doing for electronic music, trance music. You are awesome, Paul Van Dyk. And so by growing up in the 60s and 70s, you know, I'm a 60s, 70s child. I'll be 66 in August, so I was born in 54. And in the 60s, of course, the Beatles came along around 63, and I was dancing in the backyard of my friend's house to some of those early Beatle hits, such as Twist and Shout. I saw her standing there. I want to hold your hand. I should have known better. Please, please me. Can't buy me love. And I love her. I feel fine. If I fell, listen, do you want to know a secret? Hey, Jude, later on in the years, you know, when they, after they'd been through their psychedelic era, Magical Mystery Tour, Let It Be. I know all those great Beatles songs. All those ones I mentioned to you are the ones I know that I can sing, you know, with the music. I download the music from karaokeversion.com, and it's just like the real thing. And you might say to yourself, karaoke, they just call it karaoke. It's really the background music, you know. Call it what you want. It's background music. It sounds just like the real music with the guitars, you know, and all that. Hotel California, for example, or Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. You have that those guitars, you know, and in the background. Same guitar stuff, you know, just almost identical. Makes you feel like a rock star, you know. How many out there want to be a rock star? I do. And I am a rock star in the making, my friends. I sang today. I am good. I am very good. And I say that in a humble way, you know. I'm just saying, anybody out there, and I have some videos on YouTube. Of course, they were taken a few months ago. I'm better than I was then. I'm always improving, you know. And at church, I always give it my best effort, you know, whether it's practice or doing the real thing in front of the congregation every Sunday. Oh, by the way, I've got the choir reading, the scripture reading tomorrow. So let me lay it on you. Tell me what you think. is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Now, I don't remember it all. I thought I remembered it. And it says something like, please don't be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and it begins with a P, I forget what it was, by prayer and I forget what it's called, but I'll just make up a word, by prayer and positioning with thanksgiving, offer your request to God, and God will, in other words, honor your praise. I don't remember exactly what it says. I'm going to try to remember it for tomorrow, because I usually do. When I have the scripture reading, I remember it, and I get up there, being a Toastmaster, you know, I'll introduce, walk up to the podium, and I'll look out over the congregation, and there's usually about 100, as many as 200 people there sometimes, and I'll say, good afternoon. I'm Blake Ruby. The scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. So I've got a little bit more work to do to get that memorized. And I'm a good reader, too. I can read very well. I enjoy that also. Going back to what I was talking about in regard to kidney donations, and I don't want to discourage people. I'm in a bit of a quandary myself because, having been a veteran, I'm currently fighting, and I use that word sincerely, fighting with the VA over trying to get disability from the kidney donation. And the VA, and I have a lawyer helping me, but the VA, and I know it's not easy for them to make a decision as to give people money over some disabilities that may or may not be associated with one's service when one was in either in one of the military services. And they gave me last year an increase from, I was at 40%, 20% from my back, 10% from my left wrist, which was aggravated by my service. I had broken it while playing hockey. I'm from Canada, so I used to play hockey when I was growing up. And then 10% from my tinnitus. I was in the combat arms for 4 years when I first joined the Army with mortars. So we used to fire mortar rounds off of track-mounted mortars. And they make a lot of noise, you know, when they go off. We had earplugs, but we didn't use them all the time. So there's something wrong with my ears. And they granted me 10% recently without any kind of fight. So I was at 40%. So then I got a lawyer to help me because of the kidney donation, you know, an issue is one of the main issues is they say that the surgery, the kidney transplant, was elective surgery. They said, well, you were active duty. You didn't have to have that surgery, but you did. And so when you chose to do it, then you don't get disability for the loss of an organ, which is 30% disability. Now, 30% disability is around $300, $400 a month. So my lawyer, is fighting. We're going through the process. It's very slow. It takes a long time. We're going, you know, from one level to the next level. And we are contending that, well, he had to have it approved, you know, by not only his commander, but the Surgeon General of the Army all the way up the chain of command. If it was elective surgery, why did he need to have it approved? You know, something like a hysterectomy or maybe some cosmetic facial surgery, you know. Maybe you wouldn't need to have that approved, but maybe you would. And so then we also contend that, well, my son was 10 months old at the time. He was on peritoneal dialysis. And the transplant waiting list at the time was 5 years. I told you already about the times that he would wake us up in the night, you know, because of the alarms going off. I don't personally think he could have survived 5 years on dialysis being a baby, just a 10-month-old baby. You know, that was, I think, the youngest kidney transplants, one of the youngest in the world at the time, 10 months, don't you think? So I know that I've talked with people and they say, well, yeah, but still you didn't need to have that surgery. Well, that's what we're fighting about. But then there's also the regulation in regard to kidney donations in the Army that says very specifically that any disabilities that result from a kidney donation would be considered in the line of duty, or in other words, service-connected. And so there are some disabilities that I have. One is the scar site, the incision site, which now they don't do it like that. It's less invasive surgery. But back in 1995, they would take the kidney out by slicing the open from one side to the other, you know, about a 10-inch incision. And I mentioned the loss of feeling, plus the scar site has been painful, swollen. Swollen and painful, in other words. And then I was sent to, at the request of my lawyer, two VA contracted psychologists. And one for PTSD and the other for anxiety. They both service-connected myself for PTSD and anxiety associated with kidney donation. The VA acknowledged the service connection for anxiety and awarded me 30% disability, which raised my total last January to 60%. So I don't know if you're familiar with the process, but once you get over 50%, then when you're receiving a retirement pension, then you get additional money besides the pension. So presently I'm getting $1,200 a month just for my disability, 60% disability. Well, they denied the PTSD, and they said that it wasn't service-connected, even though one of their psychologists had said that it is service-connected right there in the disability-based questionnaire. And so I can say that the VA can be very aggravating at times by not observing or not accepting what is so obvious, you know. And as far as the anxiety is concerned, they, I think, have not come clean yet as to acknowledging that it is associated with my kidney donation. I just get the feeling that they think that it's related to something else. So the VA can be very hard to work with. But in all fairness to them, I know that once you start granting people money from the coffers of the VA, and no doubt there are billions of dollars that go out to veterans all around the United States, people who were veterans, you know. And so they have a very difficult job. I acknowledge that. What is it, Shakira? What is it? Remember what I told you, please. I'm just got my show going on here. And I'm running out of time. I haven't talked much about spirituality, my friends, but I thought I would just let you into some of my life, you know, and talk a little bit about myself instead of what I talked about during the last show. I will say this one thing, though. On future shows, I'm going to talk about... Hey! Wait. Give me a few more minutes. Please. She's barking. I think I'm trying to help. And BBS Radio is doing a lot of great things. You know, in other words, there's a lot of people who have shows that talk about beautiful subjects, esoteric subjects, who are trying to make the world a better place, for lack of a better way of describing it, you know, to enhance our spiritual development. But for the life of me, I really want to, during my lifetime, if possible, see that we have contact with the extraterrestrials out there, and I know they're out there. The only problem is that it would just change our civilization 180 degrees. You know, I look up into the evening sky, and I see the stars, you know, which are really suns up there. And I know they're out there because anybody with half a brain has to acknowledge that a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, create this beautiful planet and all the plant life, you know, the fruits and vegetables, the flowers, the thousands of different varieties of bodies, you know, some that can fly, all these insects, animals, mammals, I mean, amphibians, reptiles, birds, fish, they have eyes, metabolisms, reproductive systems, they have a function, they have defense mechanisms, you know, they're created beautifully, powerfully, wonderfully made, like it says in the Bible. So it's no accident. And even if it did happen by accident, logically, it can happen by accident here, it can happen by accident elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. So then that's proof that there is life out there, right? Logical. Hey, I saw a flying saucer, you know, it landed in my backyard, talking with somebody afterwards. Oh, yeah? Did you get a piece of metal from it to show me so I can believe in it? Otherwise, sorry, I don't believe you. No, I didn't get a piece of metal from it. Why do I need a piece of metal to prove to you that it was real? I'm saying that logically, I can prove to you that there is life out there. And maybe I'm not the only one that thought of this, you know. If it happened by accident here, it could happen by accident elsewhere. But if there is a creator, and I know there is, a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life, that same creator would have the knowledge and the power to create any life, the same or different, anywhere in the universe. Logical? But, so, it goes on. They're out there waiting, you know. We could be like Star Trek. We could be cruising through the stars, exploring new star systems, you know. They'd share their technology with us. I know they would. They're just waiting for us to join the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. But why haven't they? Because we're a very warlike species. I mean, you can see the competition that's going on, the fierce competition between the Democrats and Republicans, for one. I mean, but there's also these wars. You know, there's viruses that come up all of a sudden and scare the living daylights out of us, you know. We've seen every so now and then one of these viruses pops up, Ebola, SARS, bird flu, whatever. And then we panic. That's what we do. We panic as a civilization. But personally, I don't see what the problem is, my friends. We've got some very powerful antibiotics, you know. And I don't think there's anything we can't cure. But that's another thing, too. If we did make contact with an extraterrestrial species out there, I know they can help us to cure diseases, to include cancer. You know, that's something to be more scared of, cancer, to tell you the truth. And yes, it would change us, you know, big time. It really would. In fact, it would totally change us, you know. I guess we would still keep on working our jobs, raising our children. We still live our daily lives, you know. We still drive to work and back, drive all around. Although, when they shared their technology with us, I think eventually we would start gravitating towards transportation that wasn't so dangerous, you know, people getting killed on the road all the time. You get going 60, 70 miles an hour and you lose control. You don't know what's going to happen, you know. So they're out there. They're waiting for us. And they know there's a lot of people that don't believe in them, which is hard to imagine, because I just you presented some pretty good logic as, you know, they're out there. You know, besides sentient beings, I'm talking plant life and animal life and other planets as well. It's kind of arrogant to think that there's only one planet Earth in a universe that's 15 billion light years in diameter. 15 billion, my friends. You know how close it is to our closest neighboring star, Alpha Centauri? 4 light years. And you know how long it would take us to get there with the propulsion systems we have right now? That go maybe 40,000 miles an hour at the best? We're talking thousands of years. And that's just 4 light years. And the universe is 15 billion light years in diameter. And you don't think there were some civilizations that were created before us, because we're in an outward spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're one of the, to put it in certain terms, we're one of the younger galaxies compared to some of the older ones out there. So why wouldn't the Creator have created life on other older galaxies? I'll wait till I create this new galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and planet Earth. That's where I'll put my life. Yeah. I don't think the Creator would have done that. The first life, as we know it, I mean, the word, the definition of life is very broad, my friends. But really, if you believe in a physical universe and the Big Bang, the very first solar system was created upon the Big Bang. And then one after the other, one solar system after the other. And then when there was enough solar systems, it then began a new galaxy. A new galaxy was formed, in other words. And so it went from the center of the universe outwards to where we are today, and is still expanding as we know it, my friends. The universe and the outward edges of infinite space are expanding. New solar systems are being formed as we speak. New suns are being born as we speak elsewhere. As we live, this is going on. So that process of creation, you know, that's what the Creator wants to. The Creator wants to create. He doesn't want, he, she doesn't want to destroy. It's all about creation. The words we speak should create and not destroy, you know. We're running out of time here, my friends. So until 2 weeks, I'm going to start getting ready, because Doug might come on board and say 30 seconds anytime now. I will say hello to you again in about 2 weeks' time. This time, Saturday, that will be, let me see, tomorrow's the 1st of March, so the 13th of March. Yeah, the 13th of March will be the next time that I talk about who knows what, right? You know me, I harp on all these different things, heaven or extraterrestrials. I really think that we'd be better off as a civilization, ladies and gentlemen, to be exploring the stars out there. We're smart enough. I've seen the technology that we have nowadays. It is incredible. We are blessed, you know. I thank God for the technology that we have. Cars that we get into are just amazing, beautiful pieces of machinery that function beautifully, you know. Very well made by some brilliant people out there. Incredible people. Thank you. You know, may God bless you for doing all those wonderful things. And that's just one facet of all the technology that we have. And I know that money is a big thing that fuels the creativity behind the technology. But that's okay, you know, as long as we get it done. But along with our technology, we need to also enhance our own. We need to increase our spiritual development as well, so that we stay on tune with the technology, so we don't become too godless, you know. We need to be God-centered people. We need to recognize, we need to be smart all the way around. Take a drink of water. All the way around, we need to be a complete package. We have to be loving, caring, kind, We have someone like Kobe Bryant, for example, who just passed away recently. You see the reverberations that caused throughout the world his death. Such a beautiful, vibrant personality, young man, famous, you know, won 5 NBA championships. Real as life, real as you, real as me. He was doing great things, you know, for basketball and for the world in general. You know, people loved him. He was just a friendly, outgoing kind of guy. And then all of a sudden, his life is snuffed out, and you think, well, that could happen to me, too, you know. I feel that loss. You know, he was here, now he's gone. Where did he go? And that's another subject altogether, you know, because I believe he continues to exist in the spirit form. Exactly where, I can't tell you. It all depends on how he judged himself and how God judged him, how the Creator, Mother and Father God judged him. But my point was, he was just like you and me. You know, we can die also. And we need to just be more cognizant of who we are as people, besides the technology aspect of our lives, you know. We need to live the spiritual side, too, because we never know when it might happen to us. I mean, we could hope to live to be a ripe old age, but it's not always so, as we have seen, right? So we pride ourselves on our intelligence, and you should recognize that we must do things to be prepared, just in case. You know, listening to BBS radio is one way. Listening to all the good people and their shows, to include mine. I hope you like it. Let's talk about those spiritual things. Now, some people might think I'm a little bit out in left field. Well, that's another story. I can tell you a little bit more about myself, and I will in my next show, as to why I think this way. I almost died one time. Maybe that'll change your life, that's for sure. You almost die and you just kind of see your life flash in front of your eyes, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm not invincible. Anybody else feel that way? Hey, maybe I should be prepared. You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. Hey, you know, I get in my car. I'm a good driver, but sometimes things might not be my fault. Hey, I just need to be more careful. That's all. And I want to get more in touch with my spiritual nature. I want to praise a creator that's out there that's worthy of praise for all the wonderful things that he, she has done and continues to do. I want to praise the creator for the sun that continues to shine without a glitch, like clockwork, day in and day out, and our rotation on our axis and our revolution around the sun that happens without fail, without a glitch, like clockwork, day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, century in and century out. No glitches, my friends. None whatsoever. You take that for granted. We take it for granted, don't we? Does that make sense? Logical? What I say is very logical, my friends. I'm an intelligent man, and I've studied Einstein a lot. I'm a very logical person, and I wouldn't try to hoodwink you. I mean, sure, if you got any money that you'd like to donate towards my causes, I'll take it. I take tips, you know. I do karaoke part-time. I love to get tips. I was a bellman for 6 years at a hotel, a Hyatt hotel. I used to get tips. You got money to give me, I'll take it. You got $1 million, you like me, you like what I say, talk about on BBS radio. You think maybe I could do greater things together? I'll take it, yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'll be here 2 weeks from today talking about the same kind of things. Or maybe I'll just go off on a tangent and talk about politics. How about that for the next show? The South Carolina primary coming up. Well, they've already probably getting ready to tabulate. They're probably tabulating the results already. So I'll be curious as to who won. Probably Joe Biden, I'm guessing. Maybe Sanders second. Who are you going to vote for? You don't have to tell me, but I'm over my time, my friends. And Doug, are you out there? Hello?
I am, my friend. Hi.
Oh. How much more time do I have, Doug?
You actually had no time limit because there's no show after you at this time.
Okay. Well, let me say goodbye then. My voice is getting a little bit raspy here. I'll say goodbye to everybody. Thanks for listening. Please continue to listen to BBS Radio and great shows. A shout out to my son there in Burbank. Shout out to President Trump, all great politicians out there who are extremely intelligent people trying to do the right thing for America, to fulfill our founding fathers' wishes. You know, America is stronger united than divided. And it's always good that we can talk about our differences. You know, we can agree to disagree. But I think we also have to have trust in God, just like the founding fathers did. And that has to pull us together, that trust, so that we are united. And we are looking out for the welfare of the people. The people, the welfare of the people, that's what they really focused on. Not the bickering and the competition between the parties. And usually they all vote along party lines, don't they? Regardless of whether something makes sense or is truthful, because they're afraid to do it. It's understandable, but they're ignoring the will of the people. But it's all good. We're going in the right direction, I think, and they're cognizant of that. It's like a game. It needs to be more serious. You know, our money can be better spent otherwise. So there's so much to talk about with politics. And I've got my own opinions, and, you know, we'll see how it turns out in November. So my friends out there in internet radio land, I wish you the best. My love to you, lots of love, because it's the right thing to do. I'm talking about soul love, spirit love. My brothers and sisters, spirit out there, who were born. You remember when you were born? Before you were born? No? Well, I think we have the capability to remember more of our lives. Because if we saw it, like we're seeing right now, then we should be able to remember a lot more. But that's another subject. I don't want to end on a weird note, but let me say that I'll talk to you next 2 weeks from today, Saturday the 13th, 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 3 o'clock Pacific Time. Between now and then, I hope you have an enjoyable and safe 2 weeks. Continue to do great things for your overall nature, human nature, your spiritual development, your exercise, your diet, your sleep. I hope it all goes well for you. That's another subject I'd like to get into, sleep. And I just like talking about all aspects of our lives, you know. We're not hiding from anybody. Nobody's hiding from us, right? But we need to play it all out on the table. That way, you know, being honest, recognizing our mistakes of the past, although not dwelling on them, and some things are better left unsaid, but still, we want to be honest from this point forward, shall we say. Is that acceptable? So, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Saturday the 13th. Take good care. Here's a quick prayer. God, creator of the universe, thank you for all creation. You are so awesome, so great, so wonderful. You are like an energy out there, a master of the universe, a master creator with power and knowledge that's incomprehensible. It's kind of like magic. Supreme Creator, how you do it, you've given us that opportunity to learn. And we're like going through school. And here on Earth, planet Earth, we're like in the first grade, so to speak. There's so much more to learn. The object is to get to university and then graduate. And then we could even conceivably one day join the ocean of the spirit of your ocean of love, like a drop of water in the ocean of your spirit, in other words, Supreme Creator. You are worthy of much praise, indeed, for the life that you've given, Creator of life. So awesome, magnificent. And when I look up into the evening sky and see the stars, the suns out there, I know just how great you really are, Creator of those stars and suns. And when I see the sun setting on our planet, I think how great you are, because the whole universe is held into existence by the might of your power. Thank you. Thank you for that. A thousand thank yous, Creator. Thank you for all you're doing. Please continue to bless us and protect us. We love you, Creator, Supreme Creator. You're worthy of love, too. And you love us, because we're your creations. We are co-creator gods in the making. And one day, we will join you with our experiences and assimilate that into your intelligence, if you will. But in the meantime, we're enjoying the ride. Thank you. Loving it. This world is beautiful. The air, the fresh air. I smell the flowers on the wind, the spring flowers beginning to open up and waft their scent on the breeze. The trees budding new leaves here in Texas. It's a beautiful smell. An incredible thing, the seasons, you know. Thank you, Supreme Creator. I love you so much. So, my friends out there, take good care. I see a little bird over there on the fence listening to me. Oh, now he flew away. Smart. They're very intelligent, you know. They've got their own little way of communicating. Anyway, goodbye, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.